Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 25. And around this time of the year, and I know it's way past Christmas, we're a month past Christmas as of this coming Tuesday, but there's something about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ that grips my heart. And it does with regularity because he comes again and again with his Holy Spirit into your life and my life. And when he does, I'm thinking, you know, the Holy Spirit was not poured out upon all flesh at the time that Jesus came. And even during his tenure here on earth, there were a few that had the Spirit move on them. And it appears there were even some that the Holy Spirit dwelt in them. But you and I have access to the Holy Spirit of God. We not just walk in the midst of it, but he lives inside of us. Have you ever waited for something and it just didn't come and didn't come and didn't come? The package, you know. Maybe it's at your neighbor's doorstep. This happened a lot during the early stages of the pandemic. I have a neighbor, I met him once, and he's kind of a recluse. He's probably in his mid-30s. He works from home, and I didn't meet him but once in probably 9 months. Because everything he wanted was delivered to his house. Never saw his car leave. His meals were delivered to his house, except for some meals at my house, which I had to take over to him, and some chewy toys for his cats, which I don't have a cat, so I took it over to him. And I thought about it. One day I took the gift over to him, or the package, and he said, "That's all right. I called Amazon because they said it was delivered, and it wasn't, so another one's on its way." But you and I wait for things from God, and we better be ready when God is ready, because his timeline is not ours. He's not Amazon Prime. Yes. We can't track it. We don't get notices on our text messages. Your package is 10 stops away. Anybody get those notices on there? Maybe I'm weird. Come on, there's a couple of you. Come on. Okay. Yeah, you sign up for the notices, and it's like, your package is shipped. Your package has been ordered. There's one called Shop Now, and it's just, boom, there it is. You order, and before it even gives me an email that says they took my money, it says they took my money. You know, we get those notices. But that's not the way it works with God, but there comes an expectation sometimes in my life and in my thinking, maybe not in yours, that God's going to notify me and give me updates and say, "I'm 10 stops away." Or you're waiting for the Uber and you can put it and it shows just exactly where the Uber is going. And you're going, "Whoo, he's 45 seconds away. I better hustle and get those suitcases to the front door because I want to be there when he gets there." This morning I'm preaching a sermon, "Don't Miss the Moment." Don't miss the moment. Luke 2 and 25 reads, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was a just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him." So the consolation of Israel is the Messiah. "And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law." Now that's the middle of the story, but we're going to stop. God bless you, and you may be seated. You notice twice in this passage of Scripture it mentions the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and he came by the Holy Spirit. It was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he saw the Messiah. And then finally, he was led by the Spirit to the house of the Lord. But there's another saying or another phrase in there I want you to notice. It says, "to do for him according to the custom of the law." There's some things we do repetitively. And we do them with regularity, like we wake up. Like we go to sleep, like we bathe. brush our teeth, I hope. Stuff like that. We just do those things because we've been told brush your teeth two or three times a day. The American Dental Association has said it prevents cavities. There's things that we do because we've been told they're healthy for us. They're normal. Have you ever been riding in a vehicle with someone and an accident occurred nearby? You were aware that something unusual was happening, and the individual riding in the passenger seat asked, "Did you see that?" And your response was, "No, I did not." Perhaps you heard the sound and you looked for the cause, and then you witnessed the aftermath, and it was a mangled mess. It's easy to miss an event that's very nearby. I remember an earthquake that happened in July of 1999. I was working downtown in the Fox Tower, I think on the 26th floor, and the building began to sway, and I noticed it, and initially I thought it was a misstep of my own, but the building moved side to side several feet, and you could see all of the grid work in the ceiling, and it was jiggling, and things were moving around, and when the shaking stopped, we were told to evacuate, and I remember crowding into the elevator and riding to street level. We asked some of our coworkers who were working in the Standard Insurance building just about four blocks away if they had felt the tremor. Some had, but there was a small group of individuals who had not felt it because they were riding the elevator at the moment that the earthquake happened. And so they just felt like it was the shaking of the elevator. They didn't notice it, and they missed the moment. There were other earthquakes that I have experienced when we were at our house in Troutdale, and then I remember one year I woke up and the bed was shaking, and the chandelier in the bedroom was moving back and forth. There's an old American saying that may apply to what we're speaking about today. Don't be at the bus station when your ship comes in. Get it, right? I mean, if you're waiting for your ship to come in, you don't go to the bus station. If you're waiting for God to come in, you don't look for him at the movie theater. If you're waiting for God to move in your life, you're not expecting him to move in your life at the bowling alley. And I'm not preaching against those kinds of things. But there's something about coming to the house of God that if we're expecting God to move in our life, we're expecting God to pour out his spirit, it's going to happen in the house of God. We're expecting God to answer our prayers, to speak to us by his word. It's going to happen in the house of God. It is entirely possible to be in an event and not witness the event. You're on the elevator and you don't feel the shaking because the elevator's already shaking. Today I'm preaching, don't miss the moment. It's entirely possible for humanity to make the holy mundane. It's easy for the spiritual to be eclipsed by the carnal. At times, the supernatural has been overshadowed by the natural, and the sacred has been missed because of distraction. The holy has been replaced by the human, and individuals have been unaware what God was doing. The timing of man did not coincide with the timing of God. Today, I'm preaching, don't miss the moment. Don't be at the bus station when your ship comes in. I want to be ready for God. I want to be waiting for God. I want to be expectant of God. I don't want to miss what he's doing. I can remember so many times hearing people make a statement like this, and I believe it. They're saying, "Oh, I wasn't here Sunday. I heard I missed it." Yeah, if you're not there, you just don't get it. You know, I have a friend, and he says this. He goes to everybody's funerals and everybody's wedding. And I remember talking to him one day, and he says, "Well, I'll tell you what. They may not remember that you were there, but they'll remember if you weren't there." And that's the way it is with God sometimes. And thank you, precious people. I love you, early service people. I love you, faithful people. Being at the house of God, we never know what's going to happen in the moment. God moves in, and it's God's timing. We don't control God. He's not a marionette on strings. He's not a God that we have to get to conform to our word and our will, but we must conform to his. Now, he has been very gracious. gracious to you and I that he visits us at these scheduled times, these appointed times. But it's because we gather together, and we gather together in his name, and we gather together with a purpose to exalt him. We gather together with expectation. We gather together laying aside our differences. We gather together in unity and in peace. The nature of man often craves the unusual. We want to be that person that finds a $100 bill on the public sidewalk, or the lucky customer who wins the door prize. And we would like to arrive at stardom without the daily grind or get instant well. We like to, by accident, win that new vehicle. But most of the great achievements in life are realized in the daily grind of continuously doing the right thing. Most wealthy people have and still work very hard on a regular basis. Great athletes practice with regularity. You win by showing up at every game. You succeed by consistency. You cannot win the door prize if you're not present at the event. I'm preaching, don't miss the moment. Don't miss God's moment. God says, I'm going to give you healing. Better be ready when God's ready to heal. God says, I'm going to pour out my spirit. Then be present where he is usually pouring out his spirit. There's something about the house of God. There's something about being with the people of God that is irreplaceable. You just can't get it anywhere else. I want us to examine the why what happened in this small part of the story of the coming of Jesus. The priest Simeon had often come to the temple, but Simeon, it appears, was an old man. How old? I don't know, over 50. Yes. Now you're all with me, right? Here's the way it worked in the Old Testament. The priest, beginning at 30 years old, would begin to minister, and at 50 years old, they would retire out. They would no longer be the ones that offered the sacrifice or burned the incense, or even if it was a high priest that would go into the holiest of holies. They were relieved of those duties, and the younger generation would rotate in. And God had a reason for this. He wanted the priesthood to do what they should do in perpetuity and have the energy to do that. And now that's not the way it is in our culture or society today. But Simeon was beyond the 50-year age mark. He didn't have to be there to do anything. Thank you all who show up to work and to minister in the house of God, and I appreciate that. And thank you to all of you who are here in first service that are going to minister in second service. And these that minister on the platform, they're here two services every Sunday. Those that minister at the front door, those that are in the classroom, they minister two services on Sunday. They're here. They're here because they have responsibilities, because they have a passion and a desire to minister to others. But this man didn't have to be there. He was retired. He didn't have to come. But he went regularly to the house of the Lord. Mary and Joseph were doing what every faithful couple would do after the birth of their first son. The routine was being followed. The ritual was the same each time. The sacrifices were identical. The dedication of the firstborn to God was commonplace. Listen to verse number 21 of Luke chapter number 2. And when the 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed. Then it goes on to say in the next few verses, they gave the two turtle doves and they call his name. This was a ritual. Every young couple that had a firstborn son, this is what they did. There was no telling when the time would be. How many hundreds of children had Simeon seen be brought to the Lord that were male children, that were circumcised in the house of God, that had two turtle doves given? Just common, ordinary people. Oh, but it's in the ordinary time that the extraordinary happens. We come to the house of God and we sing a song we've sung dozens of times, and the preacher opens the book and it's a scripture that we say, oh, Acts 2:38, I know what he's going to do. But we don't know what God is going to do, because God will move. Don't be at the bus station when your ship comes in. Don't be absent when God moves. Don't be away. That was one thing that was ingrained in me. And I know I'm preaching it, and I'm not doing it just because I'm the pastor. We went to church all the time. We didn't miss anything. And this is the way it worked back then. And I know I'm merciful to you. When we have revival, we have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And the next week we have Sunday, Tuesday. Now in March, we're having a revival all month long in March. Woo! Yeah. The Greens are going to be with us every Sunday, evangelistic, and then he's going to be teaching every Tuesday night. And I remember when I was a kid, you had Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning, Sunday night. And I remember in the summertime, guess what you did? 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Can you stay longer? 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 7 weeks. I remember one summer, we had 7 weeks revival, and then we went to the neighboring church for 2 weeks, and then came back for two more weeks. I mean, it was all summer revival. We went to church every night. It's just the way it was, and you don't know what was going to happen. And it was one of those oddball nights at the church next door that God did an indelible thing in my heart and lifted me up into the Holy Spirit realm, where he forever changed my life. We just showed up because you never knew what God was going to do. See, the moment with Simeon and this young couple started out, as many hundreds had. It was just another couple with another firstborn son fulfilling the commandment. The turtle doves looked the same. The circumcision would happen. The words of pronouncement would issue forth out of rote and tradition. The young family would be dismissed, and the next in line would step forward for the same ritual. I'm preaching about don't miss the moment. It is much the same as expected until Simeon took the child in his arms. It wasn't until he touched that baby boy that something electrifying happened. Something stirred in him. It was in that moment that he knew. The Bible doesn't say there could have been five. There could have been three other kids, boys, that morning. There could have been two after that. We don't know if he was the first one of the day. But when he picked him up in his arms, something resonated inside of him. It's called the Holy Ghost. Everybody say Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost. I need the Spirit of God moving inside me. You see, I'm not smart enough to know what God's doing. But as I often say, Holy Ghost pretty smart. Yeah. Yeah. It'll tell you what's going on. You may not know till the moment you lay hands on your brother's head, and then all of a sudden words flow out of your mouth of deliverance and freedom and wholeness and purity, and there's a revolutionary change in their life. It may not until you lay hands on their head and you weren't even expecting it, like I've given the illustration and I said, be healed right now, you're healed in the name of Jesus, and you walk on by and say, what did I say? And then you say, I didn't say it, God said it. You don't miss the moment. There's something that happens. Thank you, Brother Eli, for leading us into the presence of the Lord. When we're led into the presence of the Lord by praise and worship. You see, it wasn't that way until David's day. And he brings back the ark. And the ark actually is out in the open where everybody can see it. It's not shrouded behind the curtains of the Holy of Holies. And he comes with dancing and praise. And he hires the sons of Korah. The sons of Korah are priests that were just doing the dirty work all the time. And he says, I want you to sing. And I got a song for you. And he wrote songs, and you'll see a psalm of Korah, and it's a song for those who should have died. See, Korah was the one that rebelled against God, but there were a few of the relatives that say, hey, my daddy might be rebelling, but I'm not going to rebel. And God spared them. They should have died, but they didn't, because they stood on the side of right. And now they're singing, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Oh, the goodness of God. And he touched that baby. And these are the words that came out of his mouth in verse 29 of chapter 2. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. We read this a few weeks ago. And the glory of your people, Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at the things that were spoken of him. Luke got it right. Joseph and his mother, not mommy and daddy. Joseph and his mother. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. For hundreds of years, it had been different with the people of promise. The moods would swing back and forth from hope to despair. The prophet would speak and hope would spring alive again. The sound of the prophet's voice would fade and the nation would forget. A prophet would stand on the dusty hillsides of Judea and utter words from the heart of God. The quaking would fill their hearts of all who were present. Cries of joy would sound forth, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. But most had given up hope. Don't give up hope. Just keep coming. Just keep knocking. Just keep showing up. Just be ready for the moment, because you and I do not know when all of a sudden God shows up. And everything we've been praying for and hoping for and promised in a moment's time, because the eternal invades the temporal, because that which has no boundaries of time or space or confines of a physical being says, it's time. And something happens inside, and the darkness falls away, and the scales go off of your heart, and light shines forth, and there's no more despair and no more fear and no more depression, but there's joy and life and love and liberty. And you say, I don't know how that happened. I will tell you how it happened, because you were there when God moved. You were not at the bus station when your ship came in. Oh, God, I want to be ready for the moving of your spirit, and I want to come with the right attitude. My wife and I and Brother Joe and Sister Laura were blessed to be able to go to, because of the times. It's a wonderful time. And most people that don't go say, I wish I could have gone. But it's when you get there, the preaching was fabulous. But it was the moments in between. One of them was a half hour long with just tongues and interpretation and the glory of the Lord. And then a prayer by Brother Jeff Harpool that just led us so close to the heart of God. And there was a half an hour of just worship and prayer and praise and in the presence of the Lord. And God only knows what happened, and God only knows what he wanted to happen. But you had to be there. And as I was sitting there waiting for some of my favorites to preach, thoughts were coming in my mind of other times that I could tell you where I was sitting in the auditorium. It'll seat 3,500 people. I could say, I was there when he preached that. I was there when he preached that. I was there when she preached that. And it gripped my heart. And I remembered I was in the right place at the right time with the right attitude. Saying, God, I'm hungry. Do you come to church hungry? I know we all have bad days. We do. There's days when your car won't start, and when you're almost out of gas, and there's days when everybody gets two green lights on the entrance ramp before you get your green light. And it stinks. And your sandwich is soggy, and you spill your coffee on your lap, and all that kind of junk. It happens. But we don't quit going to work, and we don't quit getting on the freeway, and we don't quit showing up. Why? Because we want a paycheck. We believe that somehow on Friday or the 1st and the 15th or the 30th, we're going to get paid. Or if we finish the job, the customer's going to be honorable and present the check. We do it for that. Oh, God help us. God is faithful to 1,000 generations. He's made promises to me and to you, to each one of us. He says, I'm going to come through. I'm going to save your child. I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to heal your body. I'm going to provide. I'm going to lift the cloud. I'm going to open the eyes. But you got to be there. Don't miss the moment. God, help us. I know we say, Simeon was told, you're not going to die. I don't know how long he thought he was going to live. God didn't say on January the 18th. No, he said, you're just not going to die. You know, sometimes we think we're close to death. Sometimes we think it's, you know, it's like God wants us to know that we can't have it without him. Simeon was just, he was devout, he was waiting, and he didn't miss the moment. How would the events have unfolded if Simeon had stopped waiting, if he had slept late that day? How would the story have been written if Simeon had quit watching? How different would it have been if Simeon just would have backed off? He says, well, he said, I'm going to see the Lord's Christ. I know that every male child that opens the womb, I know the firstborn boy has to be brought to the temple at 8 days old. I'm showing up for every dedication. I'm showing up for every circumcision. Who would have thought that a dedication or a circumcision would have been the life-changing moment? No, we want bolts of lightning and flashes and thunder. We want something big, but it was just the dedication of a child. Oh, don't be at the bus station when your ship comes in, folks. Let's be ready. Let's be here in the house of God. The words of the prophetic promises flowed on through the mind of the priest Simeon. Feeble though his body was, still there sprang from his memory holy scriptures memorized as a child. Not memorized as nursery rhymes. Not just beautiful poetry to bring lightness of heart. They were words with great memory. Words that he had spoken with faith so ingrained in his person were the truths of these words that it had become a personal promise to this faithful servant of God. Verses recited in times of dark oppression, hopes held deep in his heart. Simeon would believe, though human reason told him different. Simeon would keep believing when other priests lost hope. Simeon would just keep believing, hoping against hope, looking for the light in the darkest hour. Simeon was thinking of love, cheer, goodwill, peace, comfort, joy, victory, hope, healing, help, righteousness, deliverance. He was thinking about freedom, forgiveness, fulfillment, restoration, and salvation, because those were the scriptures of utterance given as holy men of old wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. All those things were promised at the coming of the Son of Consolation. And he didn't miss the moment. Yes, Jehovah had spoken. He did remember his promise to David, and a king would one day reign again. It seemed as though the words of every prophet sprang up in the heart of Simeon instantaneously. The same awesome wonder filled his heart that he had felt before. He had felt this way when Jehovah had given him the promise. There was a tugging at his heart. He was being told, get to the temple, go to church. He was being led to the place where the spirit felt at rest. What could be the reason? Why was the draw of the Holy Spirit so strong this morning? It could not be to minister, for he was much too old. He had been retired of duty, but anticipation was growing. Every time you and I come into the house of God, it's intended to be a spiritual encounter. And you may not get your promise, but Brother Dwayne gets his. And Brother Dwayne might not get his, but Brother Joe gets his. And Brother Joe might not get his. Oh, but Sister Melody might get hers. This is an encounter place here in the presence of God. He says, if we come and if we exalt his name, he will fill this place with his Holy Spirit. He will arrive, and we're not just led by the Holy Ghost, we're moved upon by the Holy Ghost. And that which is on the outside tugs at that Holy Spirit that is on the inside, and we're enveloped in his presence, and we're tugged by his presence. And this temporal frame in which we live cannot help but succumb to the power and the presence of God, and to the will and purpose of his eternal design for your life and my life. So as quickly as his feeble frame could carry him, the holy man of old came to the house of God. The awe and wonder grew with each step. The anticipation was almost too much for his aging heart. The pace quickened to match the beating of his heart. He had subconsciously been holding his breath. It was taking his breath away. His lungs felt as if they would burst by the time he remembered to breathe in. Could it be? Might it be? No, it must be a dream. Oh, please let it be. Speak to me, Holy Spirit, once again. And the feeling was unmistakable. The faith was unshakable. Just like you and I feel in the presence of the Lord just before there's a divine utterance that comes, like we get occasionally and we must have more often. Simeon knew that his years of sojourning here on earth were almost complete. He had passed the time of what society would call fruitfulness and productivity, the time that the Holy Spirit had told him of. He would see the Lord's Christ. His coming was imminent. The signs of the times were pointing to the day, and Simeon knew it would be sudden. For he had memorized the writing of the prophet Malachi in what we call 3:1. They didn't have chapters and verses. They just memorized the whole text. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Oh, folks, I know we're emotional. Don't deny that feeling of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is more than an emotion. It's more than just a feeling of man. It's more than something conjured up by rhythm or worship or song or rhyme. It's something that comes from the inside of us because we feed it day by day. We feed it as we're driving down the road as we begin to worship, and we can feel it rise. We feed it when we read the Word, and that indelible, undying Word stirs within our heart the promise of God. And Simeon's weary feet touched the porch of the temple. His strength was renewed. He had changed from his street clothes into his priestly clothes, and his vitality had arisen. He splashed water from the laver on his face and feet. It felt invigorating. He was certain now that he belonged in this place, in this moment in time, though he had retired very much earlier and there were younger men away. He requested the privilege to participate. He said, let me hold the babies today. Let me do the circumcision. Let me offer the sacrifice. His strength had faded, but he needed help if a larger animal was brought into sacrifice. But he could handle the turtle doves, and the sights and the sounds of the regular attendants at the house of God merged in his mind, in his thinking, in his feeling, and swirling in his mind were the visions of 1,000 days of service, and it was a comforting place. He was at home here in the house of God, and he watched closely. But look, the first worshipers in line were a young couple with a gift of 2 turtle doves held in a cage. By their dress, he could tell they were peasants. They were clean and respectable, and the bundle that was snuggled neatly in the crook of the young maiden's arm was a child. Almost unwittingly, his legs carried him to the altar, and he offered the sacrifice. His hands trembled, not because of his age, but out of excitement and expectation. It was a healthy child. It was a male child. The father offered up the child for circumcision. The moment of truth arrived, and Simeon asked the question, what will his name be? Mary's chest tightened, for she wondered what the response of the kindly priest would be, for she knew what the name meant. Jehovah has become our salvation. And she said, Jesus. And something happened inside of the old man, and something that was dead was alive again. And something that had been dormant was awake. And something that had been greatly expected and anticipated now was real. He didn't miss the moment. Why? Because he showed up. He was there when God sent his son. If you stand with me, I don't want to miss the moment. It was true, the child was the Savior. I don't know how any other priest would have reacted. Jesus. really? Jesus. Right. He knew this was the moment in time, and he hadn't missed it because he just showed up. Right place. It's always the right place. Right time. You and I do not know. Mary and Joseph heard the statement of Simeon. The words that were spoken were not for the ears of the young couple alone. The priests heard the acclamation of Simeon. All of the worshipers at the temple heard the voice of Simeon. It was no longer a private message. Are you weary? Just keep showing up. Just keep showing up. Just keep showing up. Verse 36 of Luke 2 says, and now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age. She had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And the woman was a widow of about 84 years. That doesn't mean she was 84 years old. That means probably she was 107. She might have been 16 like Mary was when she had Jesus. She was married for 7 years and then her husband died. She'd been a widow for 84 years. But she said, I'm unattached. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. I'm going to give myself to the kingdom of God. And she was a prophetess. That means they recognized her as a prophetess. Now listen to this. She hadn't heard the declaration of Simeon. She hadn't been there, it doesn't appear, for the circumcision. The Bible says she had served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee and to their own city of Nazareth. She didn't miss the moment for 84 years. But the Bible says life is like a vapor that appears for a time and vanishes away. And all of us that have passed the half century and the plus mark realize that it's like a flower that fades. It's like something that you look back in the rearview mirror. And I was standing in the fellowship hall last night, and thank you, Sister Natanya, for doing so great with helping with a hyphen. They had 100 and some hyphen here on Friday night for a great service. And I was standing there, and there were two young men, the Taves boy, and they were washing dishes. And I said, you're going to remember this 40 years from now. And then I said to this, I said, I remember your parents 40 years ago almost. And when we were in British Columbia, I was youth president, and their dad, John Taves, would help us out at the events. And he says, yeah, I want to live up to the reputation of my grandpa. What was my grandpa like? Tell me what was my grandpa like, Brother Hansen. He said, we're just there and we just show up and we keep showing up, and one day something happens and we go, did you feel that? I felt that. You didn't feel that? I felt that. I'll take that. Okay, God. This is my moment in time where you're going to revolutionize everything. God steps from eternity into time, and that enveloping spirit, in that spirit that's inside, swallows up our fleshly tabernacle, and it becomes totally irrelevant, and it's washed in his eternal power. Isaiah 9 and 7 says, and of the increase of his government and their his peace, there shall be no end. That means he's still here today. Same thing happened to Zacharias, and I'm not going to read all the scriptures, even though we have it. Remember Zacharias, when he got the promise of John, he just happened to be showing up to do his regular duty, and an angel showed up in the middle of doing his duty and says, you know what? Your wife's going to have a kid. Right. He didn't believe. Now the kid still came, and because he didn't believe, he says, now you're not going to even be able to tell anything. You're not going to be able to speak until the child's born. And he went at least 9 months of not being able to talk, and somebody say, Lord, please let it happen to my neighbor. No, he was in awe. And when they said, what's his name? Oh, Zach Jr. No, John. He's the messenger. He's got a purpose. He's got a design.
Alms
for the poor. Alms. His legs are crooked and withered. They have no strength. The muscles have an atrophy. They just never were there. He never walked a day in his life. He'd sat there for years and years and years. He'd walk the priest and the high priest. He'd watch the commoner and those of high estate walk by. He'd watch Jesus walk by many times, followed by his disciples, or led pushing the way through the crowd. Alms, 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 alms. I don't know how long he'd sat there, but he'd been there many years. And one day, at the hour of prayer, Peter and John walked by. He was just sitting at the gate because he couldn't go in because he was crippled, and the crippled were not allowed to go in. But he said, maybe I can get some compassion from the people that do go in. Peter said, look on us. And he looked on them expecting to receive something. He'd just been there every day, just sitting. It was just another day. But there's something that happens at the house of the Lord. There's something that can happen at the gate of the house of the Lord. When your feet step across that threshold. Peter said, silver and gold have I none. But what I do have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And the Bible says he picked him up, and immediately his legs and his ankle bones received strength, and he went walking and leaping. I watched my kids and my grandkids learn how to stumble, learn how to walk. But he was life-size and full-grown. He went from immobile to being able to run a marathon. Why? Because he was in the right place at the right time. And his miracle came. Jesus had passed him by, but Peter and John were there. John's on the Isle of Patmos all alone. All the political prisoners go to the Isle of Patmos. They tried to boil him in oil and he couldn't become a French fry, so they sent him to this rocky crag out in the middle of the Mediterranean. Listen to what he says in John 1 and 10. And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I just got in the Holy Ghost on the Lord's day. And I heard a voice behind me. And that's when he gets the revelation of the mighty God in Christ. That's when he gets the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's when he gets a word from God for the seven churches of Asia and all the unfolding of what happens in the end day. Elisha was just working in the field when Elijah went by and smote him with his mantle, and he went, woo! And he cut up his oxen and he burned his plow and he fed his friends and he followed Elijah in the way. Peter and John were just mending their nets when Jesus called them. Matthew happened to just be at work when Jesus walked by. Noah, I don't know where he was, but he heard the voice of God. Don't miss
the moment. What do you need today? Maybe this is your moment. This altar is open to say, okay, God, I'm just going to, here I am. I'm showing up again. I don't know what you're going to do, but here I am. You promised me freedom. You promised me healing. Others can't see my malady, but I know what I'm wrestling with. I know my digestive system's messed up. I know that the doctors have said that I'm diseased, but you told me, God, you're going to heal me, and I haven't seen it yet. Is there anybody that just wants to step into the moment and say, God, here I am. I'm not going to miss you. Here I am. I'm at the shipyards. I'm here at the dock. I'm here in the house of God where anything can happen. Here I am, Jesus. I praise you. I exalt you. Here we are in your presence, Lord. Like Simeon and Anna of old, like Noah, like Elijah. Oh, here we are, Jesus. Speak to us, move upon us, stir us, change us. Yes, I'm here.